and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports.
Left hook, right hand to Deontay Wilder, all over Fury.
And now, the host of the longest running fight show in radio and internet history.
Thank you, Pedro. You gonna run tomorrow?
I'll be right. You gonna run tomorrow morning?
5:30.
I'm leaving tomorrow at 10. I'll run with you tomorrow morning.
Okay, babe.
Pedro Fernandez.
You ask me how well did he fight, I don't know. But I can tell you one thing. He punched good.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos. Ladies and gentlemen, emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios in San Francisco. Check it. This is Ring Talk. Often imitated but never duplicated, 37, make that 38 plus years now, I'm knocking out all bums. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Welcome to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. For the next hour, of course, we're talking combat sports, primarily boxing. Of course, UFC is on the agenda, but they're nearly not putting any stars up front. Straight up tonight, we have the star of boxing, the pound-for-pound king, the king of pay-per-view. I'm talking about Canelo Alvarez, a once-beaten middleweight, super middleweight, junior middleweight champion of the world, of course, coming to us out of Mexico. The king of pay-per-view, taking on Callum Smith of the UK. He's undefeated. Figures to be a good fight. We'll figure what happens at 168 pounds when we bring in boxing's PhD. I'm talking about Socrates Palmer. He'll break down the fight for us. We'll hear from both Socrates Palmer and, of course, my man, Canelo Alvarez, pre-fight. Of course, Canelo's got a girlfriend. It's always interesting to see what these boxing champions are like as far as behind the scenes are concerned. So we'll take a look at Canelo's girlfriend to an extent. And of course, got to get into the fight deep with Canelo. We'll have a Canelo interview at about 20 minutes past hour. So straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Open phone lines around the planet as we'll be joined by boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer, in a couple of minutes. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, the guilt-free no-commitment text line, the number 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. Triple G was the winner last night. 41-1. Got to give him some props. Recorded knockout number 35. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
And now headed to the scale, ladies and gentlemen, the defending champion, Callum Mundo Smith. 168 pounds, 168 even. The super middleweight limit, 168 libras for Callum Smith. And now, ladies and gentlemen, making his way to the scale, the four-division world champion, Saul Canelo Alvarez. 168 pounds also, igual, 168 también, 168 libras for Saul Canelo Alvarez.
But he has a shock in store for him. He has two great chances, Slim and none, and Slim's out of town.
Don King talking about Callum Smith's chances tonight, was he? Maybe. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing, MMA. Of course, last night, the IBF 160-pound title holder talked about breaking some type of records. When I look at his record, it's nothing worth, I mean, a lot of quantity on it, not a whole lot of quality on it. Talk about Triple G, of course, now 41-1-1. Of course, that one loss and that one draw to Canelo Alvarez, 35 KO, scored a one-sided seventh round. Well, it was basically a mugging over previously undefeated mandatory challenger Camille Zarameta. Of course, now 21-1, 5 KOs. The guy couldn't punch. I mean, it was just so obvious. When you put a guy in a guy that can't punch against a guy that can punch, what's going to happen? Unless you've got Pernell Whitaker, baby, you're going to lose. The bottom line is, at the end of the night, of course, Triple G, as I said, 41-1-1, another knockout victory. Of course, this sets up the fight eventually with Canelo Alvarez. Of course, Alvarez evidently backed out of a DAZN deal. Last year, it was worth like $375 million when he said that, or earlier this year when he said that he didn't want to fight Triple G again, and now it looks like he's going to fight Triple G anyway. Bottom line is, let's bring in boxing's PhD. Of course, I'm talking about Mr. Socrates Palmer, who comes to us from the Bronx. A very good morning, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good morning to you, sir. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Of course, Triple G last night going to 41-1-1. Come on, man. That guy was a mandatory challenger. I mean, how tough are the contenders if he was a number one guy?
Hey, I mean, You know, he didn't. You said it right. He was mugged. He was mauled. It was just the difference in levels in boxing. I mean, a guy that's going to eventually end up in the Hall of Fame against a guy who's just really overmatched. You know, records are very don't always tell the story. You know, it depends who you beat and how well you matched up. And it really wasn't a good matchup for the young man from Poland last night. And Triple G really, really impressed me in the sense that he looked, first of all, he has the best physique I've ever seen him.
Yeah.
You know, when I saw at the weigh-in and I mean, the year plus off really helped him out.
Flintstone vitamins.
I mean, it was in Florida. I mean, I don't know what they're testing.
I'm just, did I say Flintstone vitamins? No. I'm just joking. But he really looked good physically. I mean, you got to give Triple G, you really got to give him props. He's got himself together. He's well into his 30s. And guess what? Last night he put forth a workmanlike performance. Let's listen to his post-fight interview.
And he is all smiles, ladies and gentlemen.
Every time.
How much fun did you have in there tonight?
A lot. I'm so happy because, you know, like a great atmosphere, great people, you know, like a great show, great event. Like, I'm very happy because, you know, boxing can go back.
There were a lot of people who thought maybe you couldn't be the Triple G that we saw a few years ago. What do you say to those people now?
Absolutely, I come back. I told you, I come back after Canelo's fight. I said, I'm still smart. You know, right now, I show you, I need a time. I'm very quiet. I'm very, feel comfortable, you know, just, I need a smart work.
Your accuracy tonight was off the charts good. Almost everything you threw seemed to hit him. Did that surprise you a little bit?
Not big surprise because, you know, this height level, you know, Camille Sheremeta, he's great boxer, you know, come on, guys. I'm not surprised, you know, just, I feel very comfortable because, you know, like, I work hard. I had a lot of time. I have a lot of people, good people with me, you know, who support me. Thank you. I'm very proud of my team.
You got 4 knockdowns in that fight. Were you surprised that he hung around as long as he did?
No, I know. Just I came more. Just, you know, just respect Camille's trainer. You know, respect Camille's corner. Very smart because, you know, he done. Come on, guys.
He was done. Yeah. You even knocked him down once with a jab. Yeah. Your accuracy with your jab is the best in all of boxing. That's your go-to punch still to this day.
Yeah, I feel my jab, I feel my power, you know, I feel my timing, my distance, you know, just I need to do a little bit more time because, you know, like, okay, if I'm finishing, like, second round, maybe too early, you know, I want to bring more people to TV, you know, come on. The zone right now is global, you know. Yeah. March Room has great job, you know, like, why not? We need more enjoy time.
Well, the big question now is who do you want to fight next? You got this fight behind you. You didn't want to talk about Canelo or anyone else until you won tonight. Now you can speak. The floor is yours.
Absolutely. I'm open for anybody. Just, you know, like best opponent for me, for business, for the zone, for people, for fans. I'm ready. We will wait tomorrow. I hope tomorrow is a great event. You know, the best, who win the best. I'm open.
Yeah, who do you think is going to win that fight? What kind of fight do you think it'll be?
Fans, absolutely, the fans.
Gennady Golovkin, undefeated, winner last night. Now 41-1. Of course, that one loss, of course, to Canelo Alvarez, who's in action tonight. I got to ask you this though, before we get to Canelo after the break, 21 title defenses. I mean, I'm looking at the middleweight greats of all time. It says that Bernard Hopkins had 21 defenses, but Ray Robinson, Henry Greb, Marvin Hagler, and Marvin got beat by Ray Leonard. What I'm trying to say is, these defenses, I mean, it just does it mean anything? 21, you're a boxing historian to an extent. This is 21 defenses, but when I look at his record, you know, there's no Hall of Famers on there except for the one he lost to.
You know what? The consistency you have to respect, and he's a guy that was fighting about 3 times a year at one point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Golovkin, I don't know. It's even the Bernard Hopkins record. I mean, you know, the Carlos Monzon he was chasing when he was in his prime. You know, most guys do not just, very few guys just have 4 and 5 Hall of Famers that they've taken out. Very few fighters. And Golovkin, I mean, you got to fight who the product of your era. I think it does deserve some credit, but I wouldn't go over the top. This isn't like Even Joe Louis's record, you know, like, or records, like I said earlier, you know, it depends who you fight, and it's not all black and white, but I'm still not going to poo-poo the, you know, the record. It was the IBF title that he defended yesterday. Was he ever a unified champion? I don't remember off the top of my head.
Historians will remember that. You know, Marvin Hagler, of course, was considered like one of the greatest middleweight champions, if not the greatest middleweight champion in the minds of a lot of people. But you got to remember, he made his bacon beating up some guys smaller than him. Roberto Duran took him 15 rounds. It was close. I think he lost by a point on two cards after 15 rounds. Tommy Hearns and him had the war, of course, and then Sugar Ray Leonard beat him. Those were all three guys that were way, way lighter than him, you know, 13 pounds lighter than him. And that's Marvin's claim to fame. So maybe there isn't a whole lot of great middleweights overall.
Yeah, Bernard also beat up some, you know, his biggest, well, certainly his biggest payday was Trinidad. That was what put him on the global map, you know, who was a welterweight.
I have his hand wraps. I have his hand wraps from that night.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, he's got victories over Winky Wright. So I think everybody kind of does that. Golovkin, the one time that you kind of, you know, was a bully was Kell Brook, you know.
Yeah.
And but throughout his career, if you look at his, he's fought solid middleweights, you know. And you say he really ducked anybody? No, because it wasn't, you know, there wasn't that killer, you know. Sergio Martinez was kind of like the fight that could have been made, but Martinez was at the end of his career and probably would not have fared off well. It is what it is, you know. I'm not going to go crazy about it.
How about the best guy ever beat was Danny Jacobs? In 2017, it was 3 years ago, I thought. Anyway, bottom line is you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Lenny Williams to break only so much oil. Have you seen the price of gas lately? It ain't pretty. You are tuned to Ring Talk.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
It's slightly surprising if you're a strong and famous sports personality, yet you don't seem to be a catch for the ladies. However, that's not the case for 28-year-old Canelo Alvarez. So, let's take a look at some of the finest women Canelo hooked up with. But before we do, be sure to hit the like and subscribe button. Thanks. Fernanda Gomez. Not much is known about the Mexican four-division world champion Canelo Alvarez's girlfriend Fernanda Gomez, but thanks to Instagram, we're beginning to get a picture of the lavish lifestyle this stunning wag is now accustomed to living in. Clad in designer clothing, the Hispanic beauty is every bit a boxer's wag, swimming in Canelo's $100 million fortune. However, it's their two-year-old daughter Maria who comes first. Fernanda reportedly met Canelo in 2017 at a charity gala and instantly hit it off. They soon started dating, but decided to keep their love life private and out of the spotlight. That was until they were spotted celebrating his victory over Julio Cesar Chavez Jr.'s at Jewel Nightclub in Las Vegas. And from there, she's been spotted at many of his other fights. In 2018, Fernanda and Canelo welcomed their first child together, who they called Maria. It was the famed boxer's third child. He also has a daughter and a son from previous different relationships. But Fernanda, Maria's doted upon and recently celebrated her, no expense spared, Swan Lake-themed birthday that looked like it would cost just as much as a wedding. Tables covered in expensive cuisine and drinks. But the best part? The hired swans that roamed freely around the family's grounds. One crazy birthday, I know.
No doubt about that. One crazy birthday. When you got the money, let it roll, baby. If you got it, flaunt it to an extent, of course. The pound for pound king spending unlimited amounts of money on his kid. More power to him. Canelo Alvarez, of course, the world middleweight champion at one point in time, the world junior middleweight champion. Is he the world super middleweight champion right now, Mr. Palmer?
Well, I'm sure Caleb Smith will have something to say about that tonight. I think, it's a tall task. And to say the least, if everyone saw the weigh-in and the pre-fight hype, it's not going to be easy. You know, Canelo Alvarez is going to have to take that title from that man, I don't believe he's going to lay down. The other underlying factor, he whipped up his brother. Let's not forget that. You know, I'm sure that's, I mean, if somebody beat my brother's butt, I'd be a little bit motivated. And he's a world champion in his own right. You know, I don't think Caleb Smith is going to lay down, to just simply be another footnote in Canelo's resume. Okay. Now, then again, with that said, there's a reason that Canelo's team thought Caleb Smith would be the right opponent. There's been word that he's had trouble making weight, and not surprising with the guy being so tall, you know, and, he probably has more miles on his body. You know, he's been in a couple of tough fights. Canelo is going to have his hands full, but he's going to have the advantage of hand speed, which is a factor. And a guy with such a long torso, that body is just right there. And we know Canelo's bread and butter is body punching.
Speaking of Canelo, this is what he had to say pre-fight.
Canelo, your slogan is no boxing, no life. For the last 13 months, boxing has been taken away from you. What has that experience been like?
No, la verdad es que ha sido lo más difícil. Sé que ha sido muy difícil. Ha sido un año muy difícil para toda la gente, obviamente, no para todos por lo que ha pasado, pero pues creo que lo más difícil para mí pues ha sido eso, ¿no? Estar fuera del cuadrilátero tanto tiempo, pero pues hay que adaptarnos a la situación y así es, y así tiene que ser, así que lo más importante es que aquí estamos en ya a un día de la pelea y estamos muy contentos.
It's been very difficult. It's been very difficult for everybody. It's been a very difficult year for everybody, and we must adapt. Very difficult for me to not be on the ring. And we are here now, and it's just a day away, so this is a very good thing.
You are the money man in all of boxing. Everyone from 154 pounds to 175 pounds wants to fight you. Why 168 pounds, and why Callum Smith?
No, la verdad, primero, pues obviamente Callum Smith, porque es el número uno en esa división. Eddie y yo tenemos la meta a corto plazo de ganar todos los títulos en las 168 libras y pues qué mejor que Callum Smith, ¿no? Que es el mejor en esa división y pues por eso, ¿no? Y pues me siento muy bien en este peso en este momento y vamos a hacer campaña si Dios quiere el próximo año.
Well, because he is number one in this division in the 168 pounds, and Eddie and I want to unify all the titles at the 168 pounds, and he's, you know, he's the best here. Callum Smith is really good at what he does here, and this is why we're here, fighting this fight.
You are no stranger to fighting taller fighters, and recently you fought guys over 6 feet, like a Rocky Fielding, like a Sergey Kovalev. But watching you two on the stage just now, he's probably the biggest and strongest fighter of your professional career. What's the key to winning a fight like this?
Sí, no, la verdad que es un peleador totalmente diferente a todos los que he peleado. Es un gran peleador, pues alto, ya lo dijiste. Pero pues sé, ¿no?, las capacidades que tiene y sé las capacidades que tengo también. Sé que mi experiencia, mis capacidades boxísticas pueden con eso y más. Y sé que va a ser una gran pelea. Sé las habilidades que tiene, pero estamos listos para este gran reto.
I know he's a tall fighter. I know he's a strong fighter. He's a very good fighter. He has very good qualities. I, too, have very good qualities. And I know it's going to be a great fight, a difficult fight, but a very good fight that we're going to put on.
You smiled a little bit when I pointed out his size. You obviously don't think size in this fight is going to matter all that much.
No, la verdad que, pues ya con la experiencia que tengo, para mí no significa nada la estatura. Si es más alto, si es más bajo que yo, para mí no significa mucho.
Well, with the experience that I have, reality is that if they're taller, shorter, it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean much to me due to my experience.
I'm going to put it to you like this. This guy knocked out Rocky Fielding in one round. Of course, I'm talking about the challenger night, Mr. Smith. And at the end of the night, Rocky Fielding was handled easily by Canelo Alvarez. So I'm going to boldly make a prediction right now, and the Boxing's PhD can put me on the spot tomorrow. Canelo's going to light this guy up like the White House Christmas tree. He should be arrested for domestic violence after the fight. That's how bad he's going to beat on this British guy. He's going to hit him so hard that his kin folks in the UK will be feeling those shots.
All right. I will definitely hold you on it. He'll be having a lot of tea, maybe not so much crumpets tomorrow, you're saying.
Well, no, I just think this is a perfect fight. I looked at his record. I looked at the fact that he doesn't have the devastating right hand, something like a Tommy Hearns or anything like that. So I really don't have to worry about his speed and this and that. I think I can get under that. I don't think his jab is going to be a problem. I think I'll be able to get under that. And I think I'll be able to whip right hands to the body first and then, of course, come up the middle and or around the other side. So I think that when I looked at him this morning, broke him down this morning, and I said to myself, this is the way I would fight this tall guy. You know, make some contact with him first and make some contact to the arms, the chest, and stuff like that. Get him in range and don't let him get in control. Just take control from the start. People say, you know, Kovalev, he had to give up a few rounds there because the guy was bigger. I don't think that Mr. Smith is Sergey Kovalev.
No, well, Kovalev still had, you know, the knockout reputation I don't know. I think Kovalev's antics outside of the ring have kind of helped his demise. I think that Caleb Smith is gonna bring a better challenge than Kovalev. I really do. I'm still picking Canelo with all that said, but I think it's gonna be competitive. And Canelo, props to Canelo, first of all. You know, I meant to say that he's taking a challenging fight. I mean, he could have easily fought someone as on the level of who Golovkin fought last night. Or, you know, I mean, he's fighting.
I'm going to ask you real quick.
Could
that guy that Golovkin fought last night, could he win the Golden Gloves, the New York Golden Gloves?
Yes, because New York Golden Gloves has kind of fallen off. Actually, doesn't exist anymore.
Could he win the New York Golden Gloves when the New York Golden Gloves were worthy? Probably not. He only had 5 knockouts. I mean, good Lord. And his boxing skills weren't all that great. Anyway, let's switch gears a little bit. I got to ask you this question here because, you know, people don't know about your wife. She's like one of the most beautiful women on the planet. And you got Fernanda Gomez, of course, Canelo's wife, and you've probably got you and him can go toe-to-toe as far as who has the most beautiful. How do you handle having such a beautiful woman as far as being a public servant? Is that an issue for you?
I think the older you get, the more, what's the word? I've never been insecure, you know, and yeah, you know, if you have a good looking lady by your side, you expect guys to look and it doesn't bother me, you know, but I think most people, you know, as long as you're not gawking or saying anything stupid, then, you know, I mean, I'm 43, you know, I'm not going to get into a brawl, you know, over just a look, but you know, it's a compliment, you know, at least that's, I mean, who wants, I'd be mad if they don't look some, I mean, that means I'm the only idiot that's with her. So, you know, they'd be dumb enough to be with her. So, it's a compliment and I'm very fortunate. You know, she is a lovely lady and thank you for the compliment.
Okay. So 168 pounds looks like, Mr. Golovkin is done at 160 because he and Canelo will probably fight at 168. You'll never see, does Canelo ever go to 160 again? Maybe to fight a Charlo?
It would be an amazing fight. Can his body go down to 60? He looks pretty tight at 68. Yeah, I mean, if he could make it with no problem, you know, and if Mr. Charlo was willing to take an 80-20 split or something to that, you know, yeah, I can see why not. You know, I don't think the Charlos want that fight. And I don't think PBC, when does PBC fighters, when does anyone in the PBC fight a fight? At least they're stars that you say to yourself, he's got a chance to lose. And the one time it happened, Deontay Wilder, he was almost shamed into taking that Fury fight because the first time he fought Fury was because they thought Fury was still coked up and washed. Then the second fight, you know, he got his, you know what, handed to him. So I can't see the Charlos fighting Canelo. Mm-mm.
Ladies and gentlemen, boxing's 2 PhD from the Bronx. We'll talk about Mr. Socrates Palmer. Yes, the most beautiful wife in the world as well. And you're lucky. You've got a beautiful daughter, man. You're gifted. I mean, you are. I want you to realize that. And I thank you so much for your time week in and week out. Of course, boxing's only PhD, Mr. Socrates Palmer. Thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate you very much.
The one, the only, Socrates Palmer. Next up, boxing. Talking more boxing, of course, on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Hit us up on the text line, 415-275-1613. The studio text line, once again, 415-275-1613. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live on Sports Byline.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Thank y'all for tuning in. All the fans around the world, we love y'all.
The East Bay Soul, my buddy Greg Adams. Of course, check them out, eastbaysoul.com. They got it going on. You like a Tower of Power sound? That was the man that created the Tower of Power sound, Mr. Greg Adams from eastbaysoul.com. Last week, the USC was rocking and rolling in, of course, Las Vegas, Nevada. Damison Figueroa, of course, now the UFC flyweight champion, 125 pounds, based on the retirement of two division champion Henry Cejudo, of course, the 2008 Olympic gold medalist. At the bottom line is he retained his title with a draw, of course, a majority draw with Brandon Moreno. Of course, Figueroa only once beaten, had fought 4 weeks ago, was a successful winner inside of one round, I believe, 4 weeks ago. So Dana White put him back in a main event. 4 weeks later, they are hurting for stars, obviously. Charles Oliveira was a winner over Tony Ferguson. That's right, the former lightweight champion, the man that was famous for pouring holy water on his wife. Not that she didn't deserve it, but she sounded innocent to me on the phone when I listened to her calling the police. But the bottom line is, Tony Ferguson now a loser of two fights in a row. Probably time for Tony to call in because he's got that bad knee and he just is not putting it together anymore. Bottom line is, Oliveira lit him up. Unanimous decision, 30-26, 30-26, and 30-26. One round was 10-8. At the end of the night, time for Tony Ferguson to hang him up. A chicks fight on the car. Mackenzie Diem was a winner over Vina Janaroba. Of course, unanimous night across the board. Fight went to distance. I'm not a big winner on fights to go the distance. Cub Swanson was a winner with a KO in the second round, 152 and over Daniel Pineda. Of course, that was UFC last week. Now, tonight, the UFC's got it rocking and rolling. His win again on UFC. Well, I'm not impressed with this because the bottom line is it's UFC ESPN Plus, so you get it for free. You don't have to pay for it. You've got the app, $5.99 a month. It's the greatest deal, I think, going as far as apps are concerned. Anyway, Stephen Thompson, the wonder boy at one point in time, the guy who was considered heir apparent to greatness, either at lightweight and or welterweight. Well, he's coming back, taking on Geoff Neal. That's the main event, 5 rounds at 170 pounds. The co-feature, Jose Aldo. I think Scott Cuddy beat Jose Aldo. That's how many times Jose has been beaten of Reed. I mean, like 5 of his last 6, something like that. The last 3 for sure. I don't even want to look up his record. It's disgusting. I don't know why the UFC keeps pushing him and pushing him and pushing him and pushing him. I just have no idea, but they're pushing him in this co-feature against Marlon Vera. So, Marlon Vera. If Marlon can come up with a KO or a substantial win over Aldo, maybe Aldo will finally go away. Miguel Pereira and the welterweight third fight, taking on Chaos Williams. Nice name, Chaos Williams. Outside of that, no big names in the card. The UFC is hurting for names. Of course, the UFC got Max Holloway going next week. Max, the former world featherweight champion. I don't know what happened to that poor guy. Outside of that, he got the shaft last time. You know he beat that dude, the current the guy with the Russian name, the current champion. Of course, and I thought maybe he lost the first fight, but he won the second fight, but they didn't give it to him. He got sort of like took the elevator to the penthouse, and instead of getting the penthouse, he got the shaft. Anyway, Max Holloway coming back next weekend's Calvin Kattar, a very up-and-down fight, could go either way. We'll see what happens. Of course, Max Holloway, a guy that's taken a lot of punishment. Look at his face. The co-feature, Omari Agamed, going to take on Tom Breese, of course, in a welterweight contest on the card as well. David Zawada taking on Ramazan Emiev. Outside of that, the UFC is really hurting because they don't have any talent. I keep telling you that. I mean, they keep saying, we're doing this, we're doing that, we've built this worldwide gyms, we've got gyms going all over the world, but yeah, you may have a lot of fighters, a lot of roster guys, but not a lot of good guys. Not a lot of real, real good guys. I mean, I don't know what happened. I mean, they had it going on there. You can't go to Conor McGregor all the time. They're going to try to go back to him with their next UFC event. Of course, pay-per-view, UFC 257, our rematch against Dustin Poirier. And of course, unless Conor McGregor's slipped significantly since the first fight, he's probably going to light Poirier up even, you know, more significantly this time and more dominant, because the rematches rarely go to the other guy, to the guy that lost the first time. He usually loses the second time more decisively than he did the first time. So UFC 257, I guess they're going to do this over in Dubai, but Dustin Poirier, of course, and Conor McGregor, the rage, the guy that made all that money with Floyd Mayweather, the fraud. I mean, talk about a con, him and Mayweather. Of course, con is nothing new to Mayweather, but when he got together with Conor McGregor, they really pulled off a con because they had people betting on Conor McGregor to beat Floyd Mayweather, and they paid like 60 or 70 bucks in order to watch it. And you get a couple of million or 8 million people or how many millions of people that they conned into watching that fight, but they, a fight or exhibition, call it what you want. Okay, but the bottom line is they made all kinds of money. Floyd made a ton of money. Mr. McGregor made an even bigger ton of money considering he was not really the guy per se, but he brought in international money. Of course, people in the UK, people in Europe, people in the world of mixed martial arts, they were willing to cross over and buy this pay-per-view card with he and Mayweather because of the fact that he was the raging Irishman. Of course, the guy that threw, what, a hand truck at a bus and had some glass shards go in somebody's eye and wasn't charged for assault. And, of course, then Khabib and he get into that fight, and Khabib just destroys him. And of course, just destroys him, of course. And it's Khabib. Is he retired or not? We'll get to that in a minute. Anyway, Khabib destroys Conor McGregor. And of course, it was the brawl afterwards, and then Khabib was suspended for going over the fence and slapping somebody around. But at the end of the night, man, come on. I mean, they pushed the envelope a little bit too far. They called his father a dog eater and a dog lover, and he ate dogs and all kinds of good stuff, and that Muslims were dog-eating people and all that kind of good stuff. I mean, this is what Conor's saying at the press conference. Khabib's got to sit there and take it. No, he doesn't got to sit there and take it, and he didn't sit there and take it. Of course, Khabib, the semi-retired lightweight champion right now. So the bottom line is Dustin Poirier and Conor McGregor basically a five-round battle for the vacant lightweight championship? Who knows? Dana White says he thinks he can get USC's king. I'm talking about Khabib Nurmagomedov to come back as far as the world of 100. Listen, if he hasn't got Khabib, who's he got? Who's another superstar? John Jones doesn't seem to be happening real of late, so we haven't got John Jones on the agenda. He's got nothing on the schedule. I mean, come on, who are their stars? Henry Cejudo, a two-division champion, 125 and 135-pound champion. Of course, he won the 125-pound championship when he beat Demetrius Johnson. People didn't think he was going to win that fight. He said, no, he's not going to win that fight. So they stuck Dana put him in the fight, hoping that the division would come to an end and that Johnson would, Super Mouse or Mighty Mouse, would retire the division and move up to 135. Of course, he went off to bigger and better things across the pond, I guess he thinks. Anyway, so he wins a 125-pound division, and he moves up to 135, and I think he beats TJ Dillashaw and a couple other guys at 135. So he's the king, pound-for-pound king of MMA. I'm talking about Henry Cejudo, but he wasn't getting any money. And I keep telling you that, and I keep trying to bring it back to my street work as a cop in San Francisco, that if you had a guy that was hustling girls on the street, a.k.a. a pimp, and he was only giving his girls 8 to 12 cents on the dollar, in other words, you know, the girl goes out and does $100 worth of work and you give her $8, she's probably not going to be a happy camper, okay? And that's the way with the UFC guys. They're not making the money I think they should be making. Of course, this business is taking in mucho. I mean, it was sold for $4.2 billion like less than 2 years ago. That's $4,200 million. That's more money than Hector Martinez has in his pocket. I kid you not. That's a lot of money. But was it worth it? I don't think so. I think it was a pink elephant. At the end of the night, it may be a significant investment for a lot of people. Do I think it's going to pay off like investments are supposed to pay off? I don't think so. Unless the country of Dubai is just willing to give them all kinds of money. Of course, Dubai was a 13% shareholder in the USC when the USC was owned by the Fertittas. It was the Fertittas owned the USC. They had the majority percentage. Then Dubai government had 13%, and then Dana White, the face of the UFC, had 10%. So, I mean, now what's happening with the Dubai government, do they still have a cut in the UFC? I was told they didn't. They sold their 13%. But they're having these events over in Dubai. They sold fights on the beach. It was supposed to be fights on the beach originally, but, of course, now it's fights in an arena, a somewhat semi-packed arena. Of course, they figure that they can get away with that stuff over there, just like Dana White was getting away with putting people in, you know, arenas down there in Florida when that governor, whatever his name was, the governor dickhead down there, was allowing him to run those live events. Last night, in the world of boxing, they had a pay-per-view on. The unbeaten WBC number one ranked, WBA four, number four ranked, and the eighth ranked light heavyweight, Gilberto Zerto Ramirez. Man, big deal. 41-0 now, 27 KOs. A 10th round KO win over IBF 11 contender Alfonso Etire, El Tiger Lopez, now 32-4, 25 KOs. Lopez could punch. Lopez was the NABF light heavyweight champion, of course. That was Friday night at the Galveston Island Convention Center in Galveston, Texas. I did a fight there in 1989, George Foreman and J.B. Williams for FNN Sports. It was that fight where that post-fight interview went viral before there was viral. Me and George did this post-fight interview, and George went off. I want Holyfield. I want Tyson. He went crazy. Anyway, he went off, and the thing went viral, and FNN Sports was, like, blown away by it because FNN Sports was getting no action whatsoever. I mean, we were a network. FNN Sports was a During the daytime, they showed stock market and business stuff. And at night and on the weekends, they showed a little bit of sports. Of course, I was part of the FNN sports team. Didn't get a whole lot of play. We did some pretty good fights. Last night, as I said, Gilberto Ramirez, a winner, but I'm not all that impressed with Gilberto. In fact, when I ran him by a couple of historians 6 or 7 months ago, as far as cruiserweight is concerned, I said, where's he stand at cruiserweight? Because he was a former cruiserweight champion, and now he's dropping down to light heavyweight because there was no money for him at cruiserweight, I guess. Anyway, the bottom line is, I'm not all impressed with him. 41-0, who has he fought? Michael the Bounty Hunter. I knew his father. His father was a heavyweight of note. And, of course, I did some fights with him on the Z Channel with Tony Hernandez of the Los Angeles Dodgers, same as far as TV broadcasting is concerned. We did the team for the Z Channel, Hernandez and Fernandez, down there in the 80s. Anyway, Michael the Bounty Hunter was a participant in a couple of our cards. And then we went to China the first time. To Beijing, Mike the Bounty Hunter was supposed to be on that car, and he threw his knee out or something like that. Anyway, now his son is the top 10 heavyweight contender, Michael the Bounty Hunter Jr., 19-1, one draw, 13 KOs. He won by a fourth-round TKO over Sean Lahardy. Of course, Lahardy coming in 10-3 with six KOs. You can sort of look at, you know, the records here and realize, one guy's favored to win. They don't have to fix fights. They just arrange fights. And this fight was sort of semi-arranged because Sean Lowry had little, like Don King said, two chances, Slim and none. And Slim just left town, 10-4, came in at 10-3, obviously left at 10-4. Anyway, Hunter dropped him in round one and dominated the bout. Of course, he totally floored him again in round four. At the end of the night, the fighter was counted at 1 minute and 2 seconds. He is the man, as far as Mike the Bounty Hunter is concerned, his father, as far as personality is concerned. The TV interviews that I did with him, the radio interviews I did with him were like, just, you never knew what he was going to say. I mean, he went off. He was like spacey. He just went in another direction. You never knew where Mike the Bounty Hunter Sr. was going. Of course, that little endeavor we had there in China, that was the same time, I believe, that Keith McMurray lost his passport. Keith McMurray says his passport was stolen from him at a workout when he was working out with Leonzo Barber, then the WBL light heavyweight champion. Of course, he defended his title in February of 1993 in the Brawl at the Wall, the first ever boxing card held in the People's Republic of China since 1949. Of course, I was part of that broadcasting, me, myself, Hugh Millay, and Arnie Rosenthal. Of course, Harold Smith put that together. Speaking of Harold Smith, somebody shot me a text the other day. What's Harold doing? Harold's pushing up daisies. Harold's dead. Harold died in February, according to reports out of Dubai. I don't know if there's some type of scam. If anybody could fake their death and get away with it, it would be Harold Smith, a.k.a. Ross Fields. I kid you not, of course. Ross Fields, the guy that marched with Martin Luther King in 1962. You can look at it. When he's marching on Washington, there's Harold Smith standing behind Martin Luther King with a big old flag. I mean, like a 20-foot tall flag. That's Harold Smith. Ross Fields, I kid you not. Of course, he started off as a bridge. He was a track star in high school. And of course, won a college scholarship on top of that. And then when he went to college, he was beating all the Jewish kids at bridge. He was considered a world-class bridge player. Could have went pro. I guess if they had pro bridge players, he could have done it. But the bottom line is, he was a gambler then. He was a gambler at the end. And whether he's dead or not in Dubai is a big question mark. Of course, he had diabetes for a long time. I used to watch him take those shots. I used to freak out. Sometimes I would have to go get him some insulin in different medical places. And I had to run for him in Hong Kong on a couple different occasions. I remember running for him for the insulin. Listen, when these guys go out their insulin, I'm talking about Carol Smith, it was like, it got ugly. He goes, Pedro, I really need my insulin, and I don't know where to get it. Anyway, there was a 24-hour pharmacy. I found it in Hong Kong. We got it going on. But I remember for a lot of different things, some positive, some negative. But is he really dead? Is he really dead? Is Harold Smith really dead? Who knows? You are tonight. Only Ross Fields could pull off his own death if he were to fake it. Only Ross Fields, Harold Smith, could do that. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. Your inside look on the world of boxing and MMA.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
I'm getting tired of people running from me in the ring. Mike Tyson, Holyfield, you a bunch of bums. Stand up and be a man and fight a real fighter.
That was it. That was the interview that went viral in 1989. I kid you not, when I got home, my mother said to me, I saw you on television. I said, we don't have FNN. She goes, it's all over the place. You and George Foreman. Bottom line is, my mother, may she rest in peace. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA. Two-time Olympian out of Venezuela, Gabriel Maestro, now 3-0, 3 KOs, of course, destroyed Daniel Vega. Vega came in at 16-4. Of course, that was a first-round knockout. It was Thursday night in Colombia, Puerto Colombia. Of course, the bottom line is this kid's from Venezuela. He can fight a little bit. There was a WBA number 10th-ranked super bantamweight on the card. He was a winner as well. Outside of that, boxing's rocking and rolling tonight. Of course, the pound-for-pound king, Mr. Pay-Per-View, Mr. Canelo Alvarez, Saul Alvarez, the king! Nobody's better right now. There's no better fighter pound for pound. Of course, he's going to roll over this guy like a bowling pin tonight. This is not even going to be close. I'm telling you, if he beats Canelo Alvarez, I will eat an 8x10-inch piece of paper on the air tomorrow. And I'll do it on Twitch TV. You hear me, Cuddy? I'll eat the paper on the air. Bottom line is, I don't think Canelo Alvarez is even in danger at all. I think he'll break him down. I think he'll start hitting him in the body, hit him in the arms a couple times. Once Mr. Smith realized the force, this is not Rocky Fielding hitting him. It's not one of these hobos from the UK hitting him, okay? This is the pound-for-pound king of boxing. Once he realizes that, he's going to pack up his lunch earlier than he thought. I believe this fight will end inside the distance. I'm looking probably between 8 and 9 rounds, or less than 8 or 9 rounds. And the bottom line is, the end of the night is, Canelo Alvarez will move forward to a third fight, of course, with Triple G. Triple G, a winner last night, 160 pounds. We'll see what weight they fight at, whether it's 160 or 168. I'm predicting 168. Bottom line is, Canelo Alvarez, the king of boxing tonight, on the zone. If you don't have the zone, get it. DAZN. Bottom line is, they've got a lot of boxing going on. They had Golovkin last night. Tonight they got Canelo, of course. Tomorrow, Ring Talk Live Worldwide, the Sunday edition, airs at Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time. That's 2 p.m. Eastern time. 2 hours live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, Satellite Radio, Channel 217, and like a plethora of other internet platforms. Bottom line is, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. My name is Pedro Fernandez. I thank you so much for tuning in. This is the very first time. Welcome to Ring Talk fam. You've been here a while. You know what time it is. This is Ring Talk. We're knocking out all bums. Oh.